home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2. WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two of the Hurricane Hotline. And we'll talk basketball. In this hour, we have with us Hurricanes head coach Jim Larrinaga, and then his new assistant, Pooh Williamson, will join us in the final 15 minutes of the show here in hour number two. Canes will tip it off against Lehigh on Friday night. Very excited with the beginning of the basketball season, and joining us now, Hurricanes head coach Jim Larrinaga. Coach L, good evening. How are you?
I'm good, Joe. Do I sound all right? I got a new phone.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Okay.
Yeah, it
sounds good.
Sounds wonderful. Got it all hooked up and everything. It sounds got good clarity. Whatever company you went with, you picked the winner. So college basketball getting underway. We got our game on Friday night, and I'm excited since we play Saturday night. I'll be here Friday night for your game, and then I'll fly to Atlanta for the football game on Saturday. So I'll be ready for Lehigh.
Will your voice be able to handle that, Joe? You got a lot of games to call between now and by the time the basketball season is underway. Football is still underway. You got a bunch of games still to do.
Yeah, I've been training for it. I think we're good to go.
That's good.
Before we jump into your season and your team and the game on Friday, I did want to mention, boy, college basketball is starting with a bang tonight, right? We've got Kansas and Michigan State about ready to tip off, and then after that one, Duke and Kentucky.
Yeah, those will be very exciting games to start the college basketball season. But I was tuned in to watching Seton Hall versus Wagner. You know, there's a possibility we could play Seton Hall out in Anaheim in a couple of weeks over the Thanksgiving weekend. And I was very interested because one of my former players from George Mason, Tony Skin, is on the staff at Seton Hall. And Kevin Willard, the head coach, is the son of Ralph Willard, who's a very good friend of mine. And Ralph Willard was a very good college coach himself. And he was by and watched our practice the other day. And I made him promise he wasn't going to give away any of our secrets to Kevin. And he said he wouldn't.
Yeah,
you
well,
believe him?
blood's thicker than water.
No, that's pretty funny because what I told him is really, we don't really have any secrets. They'll watch so much tape on us if we ever end up playing them, and we'll know a lot about them. They'll know everything about us.
You know, that is one of the funny things about sports, whether it is football or basketball. Everybody does think, and I think certain people watch games believing, well, there are a lot of secrets, and you do try to go in with different packages, but probably, midway through the game, your guys are calling out the plays of the other team, and they're trying to do the same on your team.
Well, it was one of the very funniest when Jaquan Newton was a freshman. In our second game, the coaching staff was up every time he caught the ball yelling, "He goes right, he goes right."
Yeah,
we'd only played one game. They only had like maybe 10 minutes of video on him, and they knew his game and how he played. They had gone back to his high school days to watch tape on him. So there really are no secrets. We study the opponent deeply, and we try to know everything there is to know. But the fact of the matter, the players have to play.
This Kansas Michigan State game. You have any thoughts on this thing? Kansas is number one. Michigan State, according to Sports Illustrated, is number 10. Nick Ward is back. We saw him 2 years ago. I thought for sure he was going to leave, but he's back, and he's as big and burly as ever.
Well, you know, those are four Hall of Fame coaches with Bill Self going against Tom Izzo and then John Calipari going against Coach K. And the thing about their programs that is most impressive is the consistency of performance, no matter who the players are. They do such a great job in the recruiting process. And quite frankly, Joe, that's the destination we have for ourselves. We want to be so good on a consistent basis that no matter who we are able to sign, they're going to be really good students. student athletes and be able to compete at the highest level.
All right, well, let's dive into your team. We'll get to some of the games coming up, but let's dive into your team and where you are, and let's start with this. You mentioned the recruiting and so forth, and now that this investigation has passed by, how much will that help you, and how much did it impact you a year ago?
Well, I think everybody that follows our program knows it had a huge impact on our recruiting because we didn't sign anybody. We did not sign a freshman. We do not have a freshman on our roster. The best we could hope for in the spring was to try to get transfers, and we were fortunate enough to get three very good transfers. The oldest, a fifth-year transfer, is Zach Johnson, who's kind of a local product. He played high school basketball with Dewan Hernandez, who was formerly Dewan Ewell. They played at New Orleans High School together and won a couple of state championships together. And Zach played at Florida Gulf Coast. He redshirted 1 year, which gives him a fifth year of eligibility. So he transferred in, and we're really counting on Zach big time. He's a multi-purpose guard. He can score. He can handle. He's a good defender. And he's going to be in that Bruce Brown role for us. And his experience, he's the most experienced guy on our team. Yeah. So we're happy about that. We have a transfer named Cam McGusty who's going to sit out this year. He transferred in from Oklahoma. And then a young man that's really impressing me in practices of late is Anthony Mack. He's about 6'5", 220 pounds, very strong, has a very good three-point shot, and has a lot of range on it. And he's kind of making the adjustment to the ACC level. So it's going to take him a little while, but I'm impressed with the progress that he's made. And then we have a sophomore by the name of Dang Gak, who we redshirted last year, who's about 6'10", 6'11", very long and athletic with a 7'3 wingspan. So we're hoping, again, that with a little bit of experience, those two guys will be able to come in off the bench and give us a helping hand.
I want to pick up on that for a moment, and for Zach Johnson, you mentioned his experience, and last year alone, he played in 35, 36 games for Florida Gulf Coast. In the one game against Lipscomb, which some fans might remember was an A-Sun tournament game, a very high-scoring game, he poured in 37 points in that game and averaged 17 points, almost 17 points a game for them last year. So you mentioned the experience and the scoring, and then Coach, when you start talking about some of these transfers, one of the things that I think it does do for your team and is helpful, it does make you older. It's a way to get your team older.
Well, Joe, the recruiting process is so complicated now. The reason I say that is there's like five different levels of recruiting, and it's going on around the country. And in the ACC, you're talking about recruiting at the highest level. So the five levels are, first, you're recruiting high school players, seniors, who are going to come into your program and be freshmen. You're going to recruit prep schools, and the prep school player might be a little bit older, and that might help you because he'll come in as a freshman, but he might be 19 years old instead of 17 or 18. Then the third level of recruitment is junior college, which we really have not done much of that because of the academics. But there's still a lot of schools around the country and in our league that do recruit junior college very heavily. The next is a Division I transfer. Someone like a Cam McGusty, an Angel Rodriguez, a Sheldon McClellan, a Kamari Murphy. Those guys play a couple of years of college basketball, are looking for something a little different, transfer, sit out a year, and then get to play a few years. So Cam is going to be a very nice addition to us, but he's not going to play this year. And then the fifth category is the fifth-year senior, like a Zach Johnson, like a Donovan Kirk was, a Joe Thomas. We've had guys who've been successful and have helped us. But when you're talking about five different levels of recruitment, my coaching staff has to keep their eye on everybody because you don't know how many scholarships you're going to have available in the spring. Last year, we could anticipate, but we didn't know for sure if Bruce Brown was going to turn pro or Lonnie Walker was going to turn pro. As it turns out, they both turned pro, and we had several scholarships available in April, May, June, July. We still have them available now.
Yeah. The roster also includes some guys that do have some experience. Anthony Lawrence is approaching 100 career games at the University of Miami. 31 starts for you last year. Let's pick up on him for a moment.
Well, let's talk a little bit about our senior class. Anthony Lawrence is a senior. He's been with us for 4 years. Last year, he started just about every game, and he started at the four, meaning he was basically the second tallest guy in the starting lineup. This year, we're going to be moving him to the three and inserting another bigger guy to give us a little bit more size up front, because we're going to be a little bit smaller in our backcourt without Jaquan Newton, Lonnie Walker, and Bruce Brown. So Anthony Lawrence is one of the most versatile players in our program, and we hope that he can have the kind of senior year that Davon Reed had. Mm-hmm. Davon Reed was just a tremendous leader, a jack of all trades. He handled the ball on the break. He shot the three. He straight-line drive. They played great defense and was on the all-defensive team in the ACC. So we're hoping Anthony Lawrence II can have that kind of season. And he's got two seniors with him, Abuka Zundu, who has gotten better and better each year, going to play more this season than ever before. We've kind of given Buka the message that you're not a playmaker, quit passing the ball and look to score. And I think he's very capable of doing that. We got to keep him out of foul trouble, because that's always been an issue throughout his career. And he's got to concentrate on his rebounding and shot blocking. But I'm very, very high on those two guys. And if you add Zach Johnson, the fifth-year senior, we've got a very nice senior class. Three seniors as compared to last year when we only had one.
Yeah, and that experience is so important when these guys have played in games, and we'll get to Dwan and DJ in a moment. But when you have a lot of freshmen, sometimes you once explained it, you're trying to break habits. It's almost like trying to learn a new golf swing. Sometimes the young players revert to what was successful in high school over and over, and sooner or later you got to break them out of that habit, because that's not going to be successful at this level.
So you and I have talked about that, the difficulty. The players we recruit have very strong habits, offensively and defensively. And what you try to do as a college basketball coach is get everybody on the same page. And some guys have learned very differently than other guys. And some players are used to pressuring. Other guys are used to backing off and packing. So trying to get everybody to do it the same way is very challenging for any college coaching staff. But I like the dynamics of the guys we have. We talked about the seniors, but the junior class is strong too, with DJ Vasiljevic and Dwan Hernandez and Rodney Miller, who we've decided to redshirt. But those are three very good players who have experience, and with Rodney redshirting, it makes us a little short-handed in the front court, but hopefully Dwan and Buka can share that five position and give us some good inside play.
Dwan Hernandez, formerly Dwan Huell, started 32 games for you last year, was in double figures 20 times. You saw his game jump from the freshman year to the sophomore year. What is a reasonable jump for him this year from sophomore to junior?
He needs to be all-conference. He needs to be first or second-team all-conference. He needs to average a double-double, 15, 16, 17 points a game, 10, 11 rebounds a game, a block shot, an assist, a steal. No turnovers, just play really consistent high-level basketball. And we believe he's capable of doing that. In our exhibition game, he had 19 and 10, 19 points, 10 rebounds. I thought he was very efficient. He's done some outstanding interviews where he talked about his goals and how he is bound and determined to become an NBA player. And the only way you can do that is produce numbers. You've got to be a terrific defender and rebounder. You got to be a very good scorer.
You know, it's very interesting to me when you talk about a player like that, because sometimes I think a coach, you can see what DeJuan Hernandez can be. I'm not saying that DeJuan can't see it, but is it frustrating sometimes when a player doesn't see it or refuses to be what the coach sees and they just kind of settle for what they are?
Well, again, the challenge is for a coach to get a player to understand strengths and weaknesses and how you emphasize your strengths and you try to minimize your weaknesses. You don't want the opponent exploiting that, and you certainly don't want to help your opponent by overusing things that you're just okay at. And the best example I can give is the first year my coaching staff and I were here, 2011-2012 season. We had a young man named DeQuan Jones. And you remember DJ?
Oh, yeah, no question. Yeah.
Great athlete who basically people described him to us as an underachiever. A terrific athlete, but not a contributor on the basketball court. He made way too many mistakes, missed too many shots. And our challenge was to get DeQuan to understand he had some tremendous strengths that he needed to focus on. And once he started doing that and eliminating the weaknesses, he had a terrific senior year, and it led to an opportunity to play in the NBA. He played for the Orlando Magic, and the Orlando Magic described him as a really fundamentally sound player at both ends of the court. It wasn't what he could do that made him so much better. It was what he avoided doing. He kept for his freshman, sophomore, and junior year, he kept showing his weaknesses. In his senior year, he just focused on his strengths. I would say Eric Swope did the same thing. He had a tremendous senior year because he finally learned that he's a great straight-line driver to his right. And, Joe, can you remember all the drives to his right where he dunked the ball or finger-roll it? A great game he had at Carolina, a great game he had in the ACC tournament against Virginia Tech. And I remember those games because I just knew what he was going to do, and no one could stop him. When guys, now, in Eric's case, to his credit, Eric Swope worked a ton on three-point shooting during the summer before his senior year because he thought that's how he could add value to the team. But once the season began and he wasn't making any threes, the coaching staff just said, forget the three. Just drive the ball to the goal. I think DeJuan and Buka are figuring that out now. That just don't be a jack of all trades and a master of none. Be a master of one and make yourself unstoppable.
Right. No question. DJ Vasiljevic, we did a function, you and I, and he was part of our panel a couple of weeks ago. And you can see his maturity and his growth and shot the ball better last year. What are your expectations of DJ?
Now, there's a guy who understands his game better than anybody. He is a master of the three-point shot. And what he's added is another element to that with shot faking. He gets the defense up in the air every time because everybody closes him out so hard, Joe. He's going to get a lot of open looks just by having the reputation of being an outstanding three-point shooter. So we're counting on him averaging double figures and him taking, 8 to 10 three-point shots every game. And I think he can get them because Chris likes and Zach Johnson are really good at finding him. And I'll add Anthony Lawrence, who's really finding DJ a lot. So we expect DJ to have a great junior year.
All right, we got to talk about your creative point guard. We'll do that when we come back. And Lehigh also. Miami and Lehigh at the Watsco Center on Friday night. So we'll talk about Chris Likes and Lehigh and some others on the roster in college basketball with Hurricanes head coach Jim Larrañaga right after this.
Radio.com. Radio. Williamson.com. Performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, back to Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Canes, Joe Zagacki.
One more segment with University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga. Canes open up the season on Friday against Lehigh, 7 o'clock tip-off. Coach, we were talking about your players, and I was reading my Sports Illustrated preview section, and there's a picture of Chris Likes and a nice little blurb about Chris, talking about his smooth handle and his creative finishes and what he's able to do in traffic and his spot-on pull-up jumpers. And you also have had Chris taking a look at some other NBA players, and you got a vision for Chris Likes as well.
Oh, yeah. My vision for Chris Likes is, I think, identical to what Chris Likes' vision is for himself. Now, Chris, you know, is a terrific player, still has a lot of work to do at the defensive end of the floor, but I love his ability to play offense and make himself very hard to guard and then create shots, really good shots for his teammates. And, Joe, I'm an old-timer, so do you remember the name Calvin Murphy?
I missed the – what was the name, Coach?
Calvin Murphy.
Oh, Calvin Murphy, Houston Rockets.
I when I was at Providence and he was at Niagara, we matched up against each other. And he was 5'9", about 170 pounds, quick as lightning. Basically, just 2 inches maybe taller than Chris Likes, but a very similar game. And I was matched up and had to guard him, and I held him to 39 points. And I was pretty proud of that because he was averaging 39, so at least he didn't score more on me than he did on other guys. But Calvin Murphy was just a high-octane scorer. He could nail long what back then were twos, but he shot the ball from so deep he could beat you off the dribble. My coach, Joe Mullaney, told me, okay, you're going to guard Calvin Murphy. I want you to force him left. So I overplayed his right hand. You know which way he went, Joe?
He went left.
He went to the right. Right by me. So I overplayed him even more. So he then went right still. I finally overplayed his right hand so much, I was thinking, there's no way he can go right. He still went right and right by me. So sometimes players have such unique skills. Calvin Murphy was one. Muggsy Bogues was one. Spud Webb was another. Earl Boykins was still another. And maybe as good as Calvin Murphy was, I matched up against a guy named Tiny Archibald in high school who was ridiculous going left. So while Calvin Murphy went right, Tiny Archibald went left. And I heard Hubie Brown describe Tiny Archibald as the greatest layup maker in the history of the game because Tiny was so small and slight of build that when he got to the basket, he had to shoot it every which way possible to make a shot. And Chris Likes has that ability. He's a unique player. I think he's going to have a great sophomore year. But for us to have a great season, he needs to be terrific defensively, not just offensively.
Tiny Archibald. I remember Boston Celtics. I think he was drafted by the Cincinnati or Kansas City Royals. Basketball
Kansas
team.
City Royals, yeah. And he couldn't shoot. He didn't have a jump shot coming out of college.
New York, wasn't he a New York? He was in, well, obviously in high school because you played in New York. Yeah, New York City point guard played in New York City.
I played in a tournament called the Marshalloo Montefiore Tournament off of the Marshalloo Parkway in the Bronx. And in the semifinals, Calvin Murphy scored 36 points in the first half and then fouled out with 39 points like 5 minutes into the second half. And the reason is I don't think Calvin Murphy ever played against a guy as quick as him, and he had a hard time guarding Tiny Archibald. That's who they were matched up with. So, I mean, and then I had to play against Tiny Archibald. So the level of skill that those guys had is very, very hard to get to. Isaiah Thomas, both Isaiah Thomas of the Detroit Pistons and Isaiah Thomas, who played tremendously for the Boston Celtics a couple of years ago, they have that kind of skill as well. And we want Chris Lykes to just keep working on his game and become that kind of player. But we want him to do it while he's in college, you know,
yeah.
Right here for the University of Miami. I think he's going to have a great sophomore year.
Tomorrow, Friday night, it's Lehigh. And then the next game, Stephen F. Austin. So maybe two teams that people might not know a lot about, but Lehigh, perhaps famous for knocking Duke out of the NCAA tournament a couple of years ago, expected to play pretty well in the Patriot League. Most of their scoring, over 80% of their scoring, comes back from last year's team. And so this will be a very nice opening game for you.
Well, I'm very concerned about these first two games. And here's the reason why. They're veteran teams. They're picked to win their league. Lehigh is picked first in the Patriot League. They have a terrific three-point shooting team. They led their league last year in three-point attempts and 3 points made and three-point percentage. So immediately, right out of the gate, our defense is going to be challenged. And that's what I've been harping on our players from the very beginning of practice. Chris Caputo, my associate head coach, is our defensive coordinator, and he's been on the guys religiously to concentrate and focus on staying in the stance, moving with the basketball, and help each other play team defense. Guys tend to play defense individually, like I got my man. But to be a really good defensive team, you got to have team defense, and they got to be able to help each other. And the expression we use, Joe, all the time is one man guards the ball and four men help him guard the ball. And we're going to have to do that against Lehigh. And then a quick turnaround, we play Stephen F. Austin on Tuesday. They're picked to win the Southland Conference. And they are actually Lehigh and Stephen F. Austin are both high-octane offensive teams that score a ton of points. Lehigh averaged like 77 points a game last season, and they finished their season like on an 8-game winning streak. So they're a very good, very complete basketball team. And one of my main concerns is Lance Tejada,
yep,
a local product who's their leading scorer, who grew up here in Miami and has known his dad for a long time. So I'm sure he's going to come back to Miami and want to put on a show for the hometown folks.
Yeah, they were also 8-0 when they held their opponents under 75 points a game last year. So, and shot, I guess, an average 20, you mentioned the 3-point shooting, average 24 threes per game.
Yeah, that's the nature of basketball now. I'm watching teams just launch from three, both at the NBA level, the college level, and the high school level. And every time I see a team miss a three, they've got a great chance of getting an offensive rebound because those threes rebound long.
Yeah, and then it's another three.
They chase those down, they shoot another three.
Tahad also, you mentioned him from Ely High School, scored 25 points or more several three times last year. So he's a guy that can get it going and score 26 against Siena. So obviously he can put the ball in the basket.
Yeah, their guards, Cohen and Tejada, are terrific. Their foreman, Andre, is a tremendous three-point shooter, and that's going to really test our defense. One guy we haven't talked about, Joe, who is going to likely be in the starting lineup, is Sam Wardenburg.
Right.
And the reason Sam is going to be in the starting lineup is so that we have a good matchup with these three-point shooters. Because one of the things Sam's able to do, let's say a little bit better than a Buka Zundu, is guard smaller players. And we're going to have to do a lot of switching to keep them from shooting threes.
You got Sam some really valuable playing time last year as the season went on. He averaged, especially when you got into conference play, he averaged about 17 minutes a game in conference play. And that probably is going to transfer over to this year, that the experience that he picked up from last season.
Well, what we like about Sam, Sam's about 6'9", 6'10", about 218 pounds. He can shoot the three. He's very good at finding the open man. The only issue and Sam's challenge is not to turn it over, trying to make the great pass. You know, trying to thread the needle or get in a rush to get it to the open man. But I think he can really help us. He did not have a great game against Barry in the exhibition, but he is someone whose versatility fits very well with Anthony Lawrence and DeJuan Ewell. So now the three of them can be almost interchangeable parts, playing inside and outside and switching with front court players.
What do you think about, and you're a great numbers person, you've followed this thing for a long time, but the RPI has been replaced by the NCAA evaluation tool, the NET. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that because of the Internet, the access to a lot of information can be very valuable. But the most important part of information is to be able to interpret things correctly. So the committee is challenged by, how do you compare someone who plays in the ACC with someone who plays in the Patriot League or the Missouri Valley or the Pac-12, who don't play the same opponents? They don't, like, one of the things, and I want to say this on air, I hope it gets back to the committee, Joe, is, you know, scheduling is really a challenge. And what's happened is the ACC, when I first got into the league 7 years ago, the ACC played 16 conference games. Now we play 18 conference games, and in another year we're going to play 20 conference games. In fact, we're going to open up the season with a conference game.
Wow.
So we keep playing a more and more challenging schedule. So if you looked at, we played 16 high-major games. Then it became 18 high-major games. Then now it's going to be 20 high-major games in our own league. Add to that the ACC Big Ten Challenge. That's another high-major game. We play in the ESPN exempt event this year in Anaheim, California. That's two or three more high major games. So by the time, you know, we're done playing high majors, we only have five or six games that are not high major games on our schedule. Compare that to someone who might play 10 or 6 or 8. Now, that's much different, much less challenging. So.
Yeah.
I hope the committee is taking that into consideration.
Now they say, and now they're going to measure this thing from start to finish. So I feel like we're in a playoff starting starting on Friday. Feels like they're going to emphasize every single game the same. I'm not sure if that's possible or not, but we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, are you following the election today?
Well, I have the election on in one channel here. I have you on the phone, and then I have the Kansas-Michigan State game on another TV. So I am multitasking.
All right. Well, we're cheering for Donna Shalala. Donna was the president of the University of Miami who hired me, so we're cheering for her to win her spot.
Okay. Very good. You, before we let you go, two more things. One, with all the FBI stuff gone and being able to get back into the recruiting game and also concentrate on your team and your product, I just feel like probably a big relief for you, and maybe even, I don't know if re-energize is the right word, but I sense a great deal of excitement from you for this upcoming season.
Well, you know, Joe, right now we're undefeated, and it's very easy to be optimistic. I think all coaches are excited, very passionate about our profession, My coaching staff and I have the privilege and honor of working with some great players. I should say great people. You know, we've got a great group of guys to work with every day. They're fun to be around. Whether you're working with them on the court or off the court, we're very demanding of them. There's a lot of time demands on them, and we want to continue to have success in the recruiting arena. We're very sad and disappointed about what happened last year and how much of an impact it's had. But hopefully we can bounce back. November 14th is the first day that a high school player can sign the national letter. So November 14th is going to be a big day for us. We've got our fingers crossed, but that won't end it for us. Recruiting is an endless cycle. You never really stop. We're going to continue to recruit through November, December, January, February, right through April, May, June, July, August, until school starts in next season. So we're looking forward to it. We hope our fans will be tuned in. We hope they turn out at the Watsco Center to cheer on this Hurricane team.
We have coming up on the show next, your newest assistant, Pooh Williamson, going to make his debut on the show. What can you tell us, or what can you tell the audience about Pooh Williamson?
Oh, you'll love Pooh. Alvin Williamson, better known as Pooh. He and his wife, Rosemary, and their two boys, they took the place of Jamal Brunt and his family. They're a great fit. He's a great guy. He was a great point guard at Tulsa University. He played for Tubby Smith, then was a longtime assistant for Tubby Smith. His most recent job was as an assistant coach at Memphis, and now he's on our staff doing a great job. He's an outstanding recruiter, a terrific teacher and mentor to our players, a great role model. So I know our fans are going to enjoy getting to know him. I know our players have already really enjoyed the impact he's had here.
All right, Coach. Great way for us to begin the shows. We got a long adventure between now and April. I look forward to it, and I will see you Friday afternoon as we get ready for Lehigh Friday night.
All right, Joe. See you, Josie.
Okay, take care. That's University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga. When we come back, and by the way, at 8 o'clock, Larry Bluestein will be on. When we come back, Pooh Williamson joins us next on the Hurricane Hotline. All right, welcome back to the show. Joe Ziyaki until 8 o'clock. Coming up at 8 o'clock, Larry Bluestein will be with you, and Larry will have all the recruiting information and some updates on Hurricane recruiting, so stay tuned for Old Blue coming up. He'll have Andrew Irvin's coming up, right? Blue, you're hiding behind the microphone, yeah. And so stay tuned for Blue coming up at 8. Joining us now, the newest assistant for the University of Miami, Pooh Williamson, is with us. And, Coach, welcome to Miami, and congratulations on the job. But welcome to Miami, and welcome to being a Miami Hurricane.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it.
How excited are you for the beginning of the season Friday night against Lehigh?
Very, very excited. Guys have been working hard, and Lehigh will be a very tough opponent, so it'll be exciting to get it started and get this thing rolling.
You worked with Tubby Smith. You were at Memphis, some other stops along the way. Why was this one a good fit for you to come to Miami and work with Coach L?
You just said it, Coach L. Coach L obviously is a Hall of Fame coach, and you know, his resume speaks for itself, and you know, a lot of similarities between Coach L and Coach Tubby Smith. The both of them are guys that, you know, want to recruit high character, really good players, and, you know, do it the right way. So I'm excited to be on board with Coach Elm and obviously Coach Caputo, Coach Fish, and Coach Franklin, and the whole bunch.
Yeah. You know, I think it's funny you mentioned Tubby Smith and Coach Elm. I do think one of the similarities would be perspective, both guys with great perspective.
No question about it. I mean, it's another thing where, you know, very similar in that both great coaches, but actually both good leaders, great leaders of young men that teach more than just the game of basketball. I mean, they teach the game of life. So it's good to be around, you know, coaches like that.
Coach L loves to teach during practice. How much of that do you watch? I mean, obviously you have your own responsibilities that he's given you in practice, but there are times where he'll stop it, go through it, and it certainly does make a lot of sense when he's teaching it.
No question about it. That's the one thing about Coach. He is obviously a great coach, but he's a teacher. I mean, that's what he is, and that's what most of the great coaches are. I mean, he's a teacher on the floor and a teacher in the office. I mean, it's more than just on the floor. So no question about it. You've been to a few practices by what you just said, because he does. I mean, he'll stop it. And this perspective, I mean, it's kind of the way you get the guys to notice and to do what you want them to do. And that's what he's really good at. I mean, just the simple way he says it makes the guys kind of realize, oh, okay. Yeah, okay, so that's what Coach wants.
You have had some great stops along the way in college basketball. Memphis, Texas Tech, TCU, Wichita State. What are some of the things that you're going to be incorporating into the program at the University of Miami?
You know what? Whatever is needed, you know? I mean, one of the biggest things about, you know, coaching college athletics, be it basketball, football, whatever your sport is relationships. And I think I'm a relationship guy. And I think, you know, guys, when you get to know them and you coach them on a personal level, that's why Coach L is such a great coach. I mean, it's not like he just shows up at 3 o'clock every day and coaches them. I mean, you know what I mean? He has a relationship with those guys, and you can get a lot out of them by doing that. And I consider myself to be a relationship guy, and, you know, want to make sure that I do everything I can to help the staff and every young man on our team to, you know, get the most out of them.
He emphasizes defense, but he loves to score, and he loves to watch his team shoot. It looks like you've got some guys that can shoot this year.
I tell you what, I think we'll be able to put the ball in the hole. There's no question about that. We got a few guys that can put it in the hole, and it's funny you say that, because our opponent on Friday night is one of the best in the country at putting it in the hole also. So hopefully we can stop them from putting it in the hole as much as they usually do. So it ought to be an entertaining game for the fans to come out on Friday and hopefully, you know, support the group.
You know, I always find these mid-major teams fascinating, because they level the playing field, or often level the floor. We saw it firsthand last year in the NCAA tournament against Loyola. Usually, their guys are in the program for a long time, so there are lots of roots in the program. There's experience, there's continuity, and there's a connection between the players on the floor. That one extra split-second connection that helps them all move in concert at the same time, and I think probably that's what you're going to be up against with Lehigh on Friday night.
No doubt about it. I mean, what they do is they're one of those teams that share the ball, they move the ball, the nonstop movement and action with their motion, and they really, really, really shoot it. As one of the things you say about leveling the playing field is they shoot the ball, and they're one of the best in the country. They were seventh in the country last year in three-point percentage, and they shoot 24 per game last year, I mean, as a group. So if you're shooting that many and you're making that high of a percentage, I mean, that means you're doing something.
Coach L has found a formula also, and that's getting older, and he's done it with some transfers and out of necessity last year. And he talked a little bit about Zach Johnson right before you came on the show. What are your thoughts of Zach, who came over to Miami from Florida Gulf Coast, played high school ball right by this radio station in Norland High School with DeJuan Hernandez?
You know what? Zach is experienced. You know, he's played a lot of ball, a lot of college basketball, and, you know, he's one of the more experienced guys on our team. And obviously, it's going to be a little different. He's still kind of, you know, even as a guy that's in his fifth year of college, it's still a new setting, a new scene. But, you know, he's been through it, and he proved that the other night when we played against Barry. You know, he's still kind of getting his feet wet and getting going as a Hurricane. But when the lights came on, he stepped up and he made some plays. So we hope that he'll do the same thing, and we expect him to do the same thing as of, you know, this Friday night and so on and so on from there too.
What were your thoughts when you took the floor and you saw Chris Likes handle the ball and you saw his size but the punch that he packs?
You know what? He's a dynamic player. You know, he's one of the guys that, you know, you look at his size and you think, oh, man, but he's, you know, he's 5'8", 5'7", whatever you want to call him. But you know what he does? He can get a shot off any team, no matter what level, who you're playing, how big. He's so quick, so good with the ball. He's so fast. And, you know, his biggest thing is he's so confident. I mean, he's one of those guys that could, any night, could just go off and have a big, big night. And you know what? We hope he has a lot of those nights, too, this year.
He is interesting. You know, I thought last season one of the things that was fun to watch, the reaction of the officials. They weren't sure what to make of him because he's a little guy that would hit the deck a lot. And as the season went on, I think he got a few more calls as the season went on. I think they had to figure out his game.
I can see that. I can see that. You know what we're doing, too, with him? He's so good offensively. And coach has really done a good job of, you know, bringing it to his attention that, you know, he's got to become a guy that is, you know, almost a pest defensively. You know, use that same toughness and that same grit that he does have so much of, and get after guys on the defensive end. To play smart without fouling. We don't want him out there hacking guys because he's a lot more valuable not being over there with us, with the guys wearing the suit and ties. We need him on the floor. So he's got to be smart while doing it, but be a pest on defense and still do everything you do and some on offense.
Pooh, we look forward to it. Welcome to the University of Miami, and look forward to working with you. We'll see you on Friday night, and should be a lot of fun. It's a long season, but it's a great adventure. And the ACC, when it comes to basketball, the games are, as you know, high level, intense, and it's a grind to get through it, but it is quite exhilarating. And so look forward to it. And again, congratulations on coming to Miami.
No question about it. Thank you so much for having me on tonight. Look forward to seeing you throughout the year, and thanks again.
All right, that's Hurricanes assistant coach Pooh Williamson joining us, and stay tuned. Old Blue coming up next. South Florida High School show is coming up next. Blue will be with you, and then we will join you on Friday from the Watsco Center for basketball, Friday night against Lehigh, then Saturday from Atlanta for the Canes and Georgia Tech here on WQAM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.